5:40.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
USA Radio Network News. John Scott reporting. President Bush accusing Democrats in Congress of playing politics as they prepare to take a no-confidence vote this week on Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
He has got my confidence. He has done nothing wrong. There's been enormous amount of attention on him, that there's been no wrongdoing on his part. He has testified in front of Congress, and I frankly view what's taking place in Washington today as pure political theater.
The storm of congressional criticism deals with the firing of 9 U.S. attorneys. President Bush and Gonzalez both maintain the firings were justified, although mishandled. The Senate getting set to begin debating a comprehensive immigration bill. Majority Leader Harry Reid says both parties are to blame for the present system, and that the bill will be debated in a nonpartisan manner. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says it's a complex and challenging bill that needs a thorough two-week debate. The funeral for Reverend Jerry Falwell will be this afternoon, with over 30,000 people expected to be in Lynchburg, Virginia, to say goodbye to the moral majority and Liberty University founder. Lynchburg resident Emily Mason says Falwell was a good man who took the time to listen and help people through difficult times.
He was a great pastor. He was a great businessman. He was very wise.
Falwell died last Tuesday of heart failure. He was 73. The Dow is up 4 points. The Nasdaq is up a fraction. This is USA Radio Network News.
We're with Coin Collector.
80% of Muslims in America say suicide bombings are not justified, but 13% of Muslims in this country support Islamic terrorism or extremism. At the Pew Research Center, Scott Keeter.
Fewer than 1 in 10 overall said that suicide bombing could sometimes be justified. About 1 in 20 say that they have a favorable view of al-Qaeda.
It's alarming stuff. It's hair-raising, says Radwan Masmoudi at the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy, because it means there are roughly 305,000 people in the U.S. who think killing infidels is an okay thing to do, an infidel being someone who is not Muslim. Predicting the coming hurricane season.
We are forecasting 13 to 17 named storms, of which 7 to 10 will become hurricanes, and 3 to 5 of those hurricanes will be in the major category, or category 3 strength and higher.
Conrad Lautenbacher at NOAA, which works with the National Hurricane Center, predicting 2 to 4 storms could hit the U.S., Atlantic, or Gulf coasts. Chihuahuas always underfoot. Made to be stepped on, or so it would seem. Paula Abdul, singer, American Idol judge, broke her nose and one toe over the weekend, tripping, trying to avoid stepping on Tulip, her chihuahua. And she says she's bruised from her chest to her hips. Missed landing on the dog, though. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 3 points. NASDAQ gained 9. Oil prices, $64.97 a barrel, down $1.30. This is CBS News.
If you're in a collision and airbags deploy, OnStar receives a signal and can initiate a call to check on you.
OnStar Emergency, this is Halai. Ma'am, are there any injuries?
Yes.
I currently have you on Kingston Boulevard. I'm going to contact the police.
Police.
Hi, this is Halai calling from OnStar. I have a vehicle collision with airbag deployment.
Hello?
Hello? Yes. I'm a witness to the accident. I was here when this happened. Are you sending an ambulance?
Yes. Is the driver okay?
She veered off and hit a pole. She's conscious, but she's not speaking.
We'll get help out there.
Even when you can't communicate, OnStar can locate your vehicle and call for help.
They're here. They're here right now.
Thank you for your help.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Forcing green on the yellow cabs of New York City.
New York isn't the first to put hybrid taxis on the streets. San Francisco gets that claim, but its tough new taxi fuel economy standards will result in the largest totally hybrid fleet, 13,000 cabs within 5 years.
These new standards will cut carbon emissions from these vehicles by half within a decade.
And Mayor Michael Bloomberg says the new standards will
reduce smog-creating air pollutants like ozone by more than half.
The old standby yellow cab, the Ford Crown Vic, gets about 14 mpg. The hybrids, more than double that. John Harchi, CBS News.
James Lawhorn is a graffiti vandal, caught literally red-handed, paint can in hand. He made a novel argument before the judge in Madison, Wisconsin, though. He said that he figured the bridge had to be okay for graffiti. So much stuff on it, been there so long, had to be legal. Otherwise, wouldn't the city have cleaned it off? The judge gave him probation. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating in San Francisco. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and I'm glad you can join us. We've got a lot to talk about. Coming up first, we're going to recap the NSA spying program and why Alberto Gonzalez was dispatched to the hospital bedside of John Ashcroft to secure a signature. Also coming up in about half an hour, Bob Furtick will join us from Democrats.com. Have the Democrats caved in on funding, the continuing funding for the war and occupation in Iraq? Also on today's show, Dr. Christian Weller will join us from the Center for American Progress. He's an economist, and we have a rule here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We like to talk to people who know more than I do. I hit the wall in Econ 101, but he's going to help us understand subprime mortgages and the crunch on working families who signed up for adjustable mortgages a couple of years ago. Our regular weekly visit with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He's following the Gonzalez case and those Karl Rove emails. Will we ever see them? And the president, meanwhile, calls this political theater. And on a recent program, Janice from Coos Bay, Oregon, tipped me off to a story by Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive about a new power grab by George W. Bush. We've got Matt Rothschild. He'll be on the show with us later today to talk more about it. And for our West Coast listeners, of course, this is a live radio program, and you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number, and you can call whenever the urge strikes you. And as long as the First Amendment is in full effect, and we checked, it is so far. And if you'd like to, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Before we get started today, I want to offer a warm welcome. We've got a new radio station carrying the Peter B. Collins Show every Saturday and Sunday afternoon, 4 to 7 p.m., on Portland's leading progressive talk station, KPOJ, that's a new one for me, KPOJ 620. And you won't be able to call in from Portland because this program was recorded a couple of days ago, but you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And that's the website, too, where we stream the program live and archive our programs for your future listening. That's www.peterbcollins.com.
Joining us now from the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York is a man who is trying to protect your right to privacy and protect you from intrusive surveillance and searches that violate our Fourth Amendment protections. He is Shayana Katadal, an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. He goes by the name of Shane. Shane, good to talk with you again. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
You do know that this conversation is likely to be monitored by the National Security Agency.
Well, you mean on the phone or on the radio?
Both. I imagine we have our own personal minder over there. We nicknamed him Benny. And I feel sorry for Benny. He's got those earbuds in, and he's got to listen to every blathering word I say. And what a task that must be.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us, Benny.
Well, Shane, I wanted you to give us your insight, because ever since James Comey shared his story with the Senate Judiciary Committee about that remarkable hospital scene where John Ashcroft had undergone emergency surgery, he was in intensive care, his wife had given strict instructions that no visitors could come to see him, and yet, from what we've heard, a call came perhaps from the president himself in the Oval Office saying, a couple of guys are coming over to talk to the Attorney General. Let them in. And that's when James Comey, who was the acting AG at the time, got wind of it from Mrs. Ashcroft. He raced over to the hospital, and then this bizarre scene developed. Tell us your thoughts on why Gonzalez and Andrew Card, who was then the White House Chief of Staff, had such great urgency to get Ashcroft, who wasn't even technically on duty as Attorney General. He had passed his powers temporarily because of the surgery. They were trying to get him to sign off on a program that had expired. This is the 45-day NSA domestic surveillance program.
Yeah, that's right. The president, when he created this program, supposedly back in 2001, ordered that every 45 days it kind of be reevaluated by both himself and the Justice Department, and that both himself and the Attorney General would have to sign off on it, reauthorize it every 45 days. This is the, you know, NSA warrantless surveillance program that the New York Times disclosed in December of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in late 2003, there was a decent amount of turnover in the Office of Legal Counsel, which is sort of the part of the DOJ that advises the president on legal issues, and some of the craziest sort of legal interpretations of the Bush administration and the sort of war on terror have come out of OLC from the first generation of people that were there, John Yoo, Jay Bybee, David Addington, the president's sort of legal advisor, and so forth, from about 2001 to 2003. But then there was a lot of turnover, and those folks left, one to become a judge, John Yoo to go to Berkeley Law School,
mm-hmm.
and new people came in who were, you know, by no means, you know, sort of, you know, centrist, you know, Rockefeller Republicans, but, you know, they were people who, you know, were at least more moderate than, you know, John Yoo, who sort of believes the president can do whatever he wants in wartime. And, you know, when they came in, they started to reevaluate a lot of the legal justifications that had been put forward for a lot of war on terror practices. You know, what we sort of believe happened here was, you know, that at some point they basically looked at the legal justification for the NSA program that had been put forward by John Yoo. Now, supposedly he put together a memo on warrantless wiretapping at the same time he put together his torture memos, but that memo hasn't been leaked to the public yet. In any event, they took a look at whatever his justification was and decided maybe that you know, that it wasn't sufficient or that it didn't make sense legally. And so, you know, the timing of this kind of coincided with Ashcroft getting very sick and going to the hospital. But basically what Comey said was that when he was acting attorney general for a week or two while Ashcroft was sick with pancreatitis in intensive care and sedated in this hospital, that Comey decided that he wasn't going to sign the reauthorization of the NSA program when its, you know, current 45-day period expired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's interesting to kind of think, you know, what would have, you know, what would have sort of, you know, what would they have been thinking, I guess, or what does it say about the program itself, the nature of the program, that they refused to sign off on it? You know, we do know that in 2005, when the program became public, the main justification that the administration put forward for it was that it was authorized by Congress. You know, okay, so there are these wiretapping statutes, including FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that, you know, prohibit the president from doing warrantless surveillance unless he either gets warrants from a court or unless Congress has somehow authorized exemptions to the statutes. Right, and so the president was arguing, or Alberto Gonzalez really was arguing to the nation in 2005, that when Congress authorized the use of military force against al-Qaeda right after 9/11, that authorization was such a statutory exemption to the wiretapping laws. So this was actually kind of a narrow sort of justification in some ways for the program. It was, you know, sort of saying that, look, you know, we can at least wiretap sort of people who we think have some connection to al-Qaeda, because Congress had authorized the use of military force against al-Qaeda, and part of military force is gathering intelligence.
Wow, okay. What a stretch.
Well, you know, it sort of is, because, you know, the reality is there's a vast difference between wiretapping calls into the United States and sort of doing, you know, military intelligence on a battlefield, which is the analogy that they were drawing, you know. I mean, I think everyone would you know, say that, you know, sure, if Congress authorizes military force for use in Afghanistan against al-Qaeda, well, then if you're in Afghanistan, you can sort of spy on the enemy's convoys and that kind of thing. But to say that that extends to, you know, wiretapping calls that come into the U.S., you know, when there are all these detailed statutes regulating it, well, that's mm-hmm. a pretty crazy argument. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, be that as it may, that was the prevailing argument that the administration put forward in late 2005 to justify the program. Now, if you backtrack to March of 2004 when this hospital room incident happened, you know, what you have to assume is that because, Comey was unwilling to sign off on whatever theory they had put forward for the legality of whatever kind of program they were doing in March 2004. And then, you know, something changed. The president must have changed, presumably must have changed the nature of the program such that, that whatever happened between 2004 and the public announcement, must have been much more limited. And, you know, our best speculation right now is that the theory that Gonzalez put forward in 2005 that was sort of tied to, you know, sort of a link to al-Qaeda, you know, saying we're only listening in on people who have some connection to al-Qaeda because that's what Congress authorized.
Yeah, it was just a tap on Osama's sat phone, right? That's what they wanted us
right,
to believe.
And a few thousand other people who were connected somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Times reported that it was, you know, upwards of 5,000 people who were targets of even the limited program. But, you know, backtracking, you know, I think what we have to, you know, deduce from the fact that Comey refused to sign off on some, you know, program in 2004, but then agreed to sort of go along with, you know, whatever existed from 2004 through the public announcement of the program.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to, you know, sort of deduce that whatever program existed before this hospital bed incident, that must have been much, much broader than the program that was publicly announced in December 2005.
Well, and you're a lawyer, and you understand this legal speak, Shane. In his Senate testimony, James Comey said that he couldn't sign off on it because it didn't conform to the law. Now, I'm just a layperson, but isn't that a backwards way of saying it broke the law?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. You know, and the interesting thing is that the president, you know, his immediate reaction was to say, okay, we're not going to, you know, bother with an attorney general or Department of Justice signature on this document. Advice from the highest levels of the Justice Department, you know, from Ashcroft, who agreed with what Comey had said, Comey the acting attorney general at the
mm-hmm.
time, and presumably also from Robert Mueller, who supposedly offered to resign at the same time as those two guys
right.
to resign over this issue.
Shane, we need to take a break. We'll
sure.
return and talk more about why this authorization was sought and exactly what it tells us about at least the shape and dimensions of the domestic NSA warrantless wiretap program, in my view, a direct violation of the FISA law of 1978. Our guest is Shane Conidall from the Center for Constitutional Rights. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
America's number
you.
One home loan
Dr.
lender.
Dr. Daniel Turner
countrywide.
Has been practicing
it's
dentistry
a
in Monterey
for
33
years.
And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important
in
to you.
Here, so there
and
may
because
be a little
Dr. Turner
order
cares
now
about
and then
you
we apologize
and your concerns
for the inconvenience.
And he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Over the past couple
Dr.
Of days,
Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're calling Elvis, or is Elvis calling us? The NSA wants to know.
Hello, NSA. I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you.
Because you.
Really listen. Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone. Cause you're out there with your headphones. And you really listen.
That one's for Benny, our personal minder over the NSA. It's Roy Zimmerman doing his Elvis best, and you can hear that CD at royzimmerman.com. Even acquire a copy for yourself if you'd like. We continue our conversation with attorney Shane Cotterdall from the Center for Constitutional Rights. They're fighting for our rights to privacy and to try to prevent government snooping into our telephone calls, emails, and other communications. And, Shane, we were talking about the bedside visit that Andrew Card, then Chief of Staff, and Alberto Gonzalez, then the White House counsel, made to the then self-suspended Attorney General. Ashcroft gave his powers to his assistant while he was in intensive care and in surgery. and they tried to squeeze him to reauthorize this NSA spying program. And it calls into question in some quarters the role of the telephone companies, because we know that Quest and at least one other initially resisted the government's efforts to put gizmos into their facilities to enable this kind of eavesdropping and surveillance.
Right, and we know a lot of them went along with it, including most likely AT&T, where a whistleblower revealed that this, you know, sort of huge, you know, special room that was off limits to everyone except the NSA had been set up right in the middle of their switching stations in San Francisco to siphon off a copy of every signal going through their backbone to the NSA. You know, as I was saying earlier, the basically, you know, we have a sense now from looking at what Comey said that the program was actually much broader before the hospital room visit than the narrower program that probably took its place after the hospital room visit and that was sort of, you know, revealed to the nation, a program sort of involving targeting communications of sort of Al-Qaeda people, supposedly. Mm-hmm. So before that, you know, who knows how wide it might be. It might have been this sort of gigantic sort of drift net, sort of data mining program that people have talked about.
Right.
And as you say, you know, one of the key questions here is really, why was the president and why were Gonzalez and Card so concerned to get the attorney general's signature? Well, if you look at the wiretapping statutes, there is a provision that says that the telephone companies can, you know, sort of cooperate with wiretapping of their own customers and so forth, you know, if they just get a sort of certification from the attorney general that it complies with the law. And you might wonder, well, you know, shouldn't they be presented with a warrant? But there are a couple circumstances where the attorney general can go ahead and put a wiretap in place even without having the warrant in hand. They can do emergency wiretaps and go to a court, you know, 3 days later under FISA.
Mm-hmm.
So those are situations where it makes sense that you just have the attorney general sign a piece of paper, and then the phone company goes along with it. And so, you know, to me, that's probably the most likely explanation for why Gonzalez and Card were so, you know, sort of so in a tizzy over the fact that Comey wouldn't sign off, that the acting attorney general wouldn't sign off on reauthorization of the program, because they were probably taking those reauthorization documents to the phone companies and saying, look, you know, this is, you know, a certification under that provision of the Wiretapping Act, and therefore you guys can't be held liable to your customers for, you know, breaking all the other wiretapping and phone record, you know, sort of privacy laws, you know, because you have this certification that's signed by the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's, you know, that's probably why this set off such a frenzy in the White House.
Yeah, and Shane, I never thought I'd say this, but this was the brightest moment of the four-year tenure of John Ashcroft as attorney general. He showed principle. He showed a commitment to the Constitution that was otherwise sorely absent. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Shane and Peter. You're just touching on it. It's only a side thought, but I bet it's the fact, and that is that surgeons who administer certain types of sedation, such as sodium amethyl, sodium pentothal, it has a side effect of being a truth serum. So a lot of surgeons get to hear patients confessing to all kinds of things, even those that are very loose with the truth normally are now required to be honest.
Are you saying that John Ashcroft was high on the truth?
I'm saying that he looked at that and said, that's illegal. I'm not going to sign that, and that's not the Ashcroft we had come to know.
No, it certainly wasn't. Well, Dave, thank you for that speculation. That's very
that's
interesting.
Great.
Shane, what else is open to suggestion here? We know that we're in the dark about a lot of things related to the NSA program, but what else can you conjecture intelligently from what we know?
Well, you know, I mean, I think, you know, some of the many interesting things about it are, you know, one, that the president, you know, must have known that he was breaking the law, basically, because all these guys had told him that, and he decided to go ahead with the program after the hospital room visit anyway without the attorney general's signature. You know, another is that these three guys, you know, Ashcroft, Comey, Goldsmith, and Jack Goldsmith, who was also sort of involved with all this, they were hardly, you know, sort of middle-of-the-road guys. They were pretty willing to push the law as far as it would go in you know, their previous capacities before they came to the Bush White House. And yet, whatever they were doing before March 2004 was alarming enough that these guys said, you know, look, it has to stop. You know, then beyond that is the question of, you know, what was sort of motivating the timing of this reevaluation? Because it was a couple months into the tenure of all these folks in the White House or OLC. And, you know, there seemed to have been perhaps there's a lot of reporting about objections from the FISA court chief
right.
judge,
yeah.
Colleen Coller Catelli,
mm-hmm.
that somehow information from the NSA program was making its way into warrant applications.
Got to stop there. Shane Katadal from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver.
And nothing gets me more hack and mad than people that say they're going to serve the public and they serve themselves. When a person decides to run for public office, it should be about serving the people. It shouldn't be about profiting. It shouldn't be about consolidating power. It shouldn't be about doing anything that could be construed as benefiting themselves. Too many people today look at public office as a next stepping stone in their career. Most working people, they have to work really hard all day, every day, all week, and they don't have time to run for an office and put aside the hours it takes doing the public's duty. The reason that most people that run for office are probably already financially well off. Unfortunately, when they do the people's duty, they benefit and help people like themselves. I mean, those that are already doing well. This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and we need to change the attitude of those that run for public office, make it about what it's supposed to be, serving the public.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining us in a moment, Bob Furtick.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. It's time to go home. Take our boys away.
Most Americans and most Democrats in the United States Congress understand that it is time for American troops to come home from Iraq. But there's a stubborn occupant at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who just keeps saying no. And this has been a contentious debate for the last 6 weeks, and the dance continues in Washington up against the Memorial Day weekend holiday. And as some of you hear this over the Memorial Day weekend, the issues may have been settled, but as we are talking about it today, the negotiations and the legislative process are underway. Bob Furtick joins us right now. He's a co-founder of Democrats.com, after DowningStreet.org, ImpeachPact.org. Any other sites we ought to mention, Bob?
No, that's enough for one day.
You got some URLs, and you know how to use them. Well, Bob, you and others in the the caucus, the group of Americans, progressives who have organized to try to help lead us out of Iraq. It's been a very frustrating period because, of course, the promise of a significant Democratic majority in the House and the narrow margin in the Senate led many people to believe last November that this was the beginning of the end. But it's been a difficult process, and to be fair, the president has maintained the upper hand in many respects.
Well, he's a pretty simple negotiator. He just says no. And what are the Democrats supposed to do at that point? Well, they're going to have to play hardball. They just try. You can't negotiate with George Bush. You can't expect a little, give and take. He doesn't provide it. So the Democrats have to deal with the levers that they have. They don't have many. They do control the funding. If they just didn't send Bush a supplemental bill, the war would grind down because we would run out of money. So that's one way to approach it. Of course, they don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Another option is impeachment. It will certainly get Bush's attention if they started a serious impeachment investigation. I mean, there are investigations that are ongoing that are bringing us close to impeachment, but they're not being called impeachment investigations, so the White House doesn't really have to deal with the possibility of being thrown out of the White House. So,
mm-hmm.
There are tools that the Democrats have, and it's time they started using them.
Well, and one of the tools is language and framing, and we've learned a lot from George Lakoff and our friend Jeffrey Feldman, who runs frameshopisopen.com on the web. And one of the traps that I think the Democrats have fallen into is this language that this funding is all about the troops. And it's about the occupation. It's about Bush's failed policies. It's about putting more money, throwing more money, good money after bad. And the Democrats keep using Bush's language.
Absolutely. They've been totally stymied by three words, support the troops. They haven't offered any countervailing framing, such as the extraordinary cost of this war, the harm that it's doing to this country in terms of our readiness, in terms of our military is being broken by their extended deployments. One thing after another, we've got hurricane season coming. We don't have the National Guard at home. We saw what the result of that was during Katrina. But the Democrats haven't offered any strong frames to go up against support the troops.
And I think that is crucial because you can't win the debate when you use the loaded language of your opponent. And again, Bush claims to be the guy who supports the troops, but they have extended the tours without very much warning to either the families or the service members. And now there's a struggle underway where the White House is threatening to veto the $650 billion or so defense bill for the next fiscal year because it includes too big a raise, an extra 0.5%, an extra $15 a week for the troops. And to permit the White House to still claim this ground, that they support the troops, and Democrats who want to bring an end to this war don't, it's not only shameful, it's very damaging to the efforts of Democrats who really are earnest in trying to end our occupation of Iraq.
Well, the only way to support our troops is to bring them home. They're getting killed. They're getting maimed. They're getting these horrible head injuries. They're getting PTSD. The numbers are extraordinary. You know, we don't see this on our television sets. That's why we're not out in the streets demanding it. Also, we don't have a draft, so it only affects those who voluntarily join or are tricked into joining. So, you know, there's a tendency not to pay attention, and but we've got to change this all around. We've got to change the politics of this. We've got the presidential Democratic candidates, at least, paying attention to us. We've got people like John Edwards organizing Memorial Day protests against the war, Memorial Weekend.
Mm-hmm. We have Senator Clinton trying to rewrite her own personal history about the war.
Well, that's fine. You know, we've got Senator Obama. We've got Senator Dodd, you know, that are taking stands on this. Well, that's great. But that's not true of all the Democrats. We had a vote recently, and we got 171 Democrats to vote set a timetable, a firm deadline, and the McGovern Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost 59 Democrats in the House. So it's time to start thinking about primary challenges against those 59, starting with the House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer from Maryland, who has no excuse and needs to be held accountable through the primary process.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Bob Furtick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. And John joins us from Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air with Peter B. and Bob Furtick.
I want to say how much I agree with your guest's earlier point about the Congress not getting the point that you can't negotiate with the rigid reactionary that is George Bush. I don't know when they'll ever get it. In fact, I don't think centrists and the gang of geeky centrists we've got these days, I don't think they are going to get it. We elected the wrong brood this time. Maybe a lot were elected earlier before this bunch, because you have to hearken back to how easily George Bush conned the whole bunch into the war in the first place. It shows how effective evangelizing an issue is. The spoken word is infinitely more powerful, especially when it repeats a thing over and over again, than printed logic ever is.
Well, John, you make a couple of very good points. I agree with you and Bob that the White House cannot be negotiated with, and they've proven that. Because, again, the Democrats took this incremental process where they thought they could continue to fund the occupation but put limits and timelines on it. And the president resisted all of that. Ultimately, after he vetoed the supplemental package, he said, well, maybe I can accept some benchmarks, but no timelines.
He's a fantastic liar.
Well, of course, the bill that he received had only benchmarks remaining in it. So that was a phony position of the president. And Bob Furtick, the question I have at this point is, when will the Democrats get angry enough at the non-negotiable positions the president has taken and the way he has snookered them once again? Because this week we are learning that the so-called surge may in fact nearly double the number of U.S. troops on the ground by the end of 2007. And that was not even contemplated in the expanded numbers that came out in March about the new Baghdad plan and this so-called surge.
Yeah, those numbers are extraordinary, and I don't think they've percolated up to the consciousness of the Democratic leaders in Congress. The problem isn't all of the Democrats. I think Nancy Pelosi is quite determined to end the war. I think she's quite angry, in answer to your question about anger.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's quite angry. I think so is Harry Reid. I think you have to go by the numbers, and I think the McGovern vote, the 171 that voted for it, but the 59 who didn't, you know, those are the 59 we need to target. So two-thirds of the Democrats are with us, one-third aren't, and we need to work on those. I think we can bring them around. I think a primary challenge is quite a wake-up call to any member of Congress. They think, once they're elected, they think they own the seat for life. And if we run primaries against them and we get the Democrats who are angry like we are, the activists who are angry, organized, then I think, you know, like we did with Joe Lieberman in Connecticut last summer, where a candidate who had never run for office statewide, you know, just was local selectman, beat him in the Democratic primary. We're talking about Ned Lamont.
Well, and his name was just about to cross my lips. I agree. And, of course, Lieberman had the wiggle room under Connecticut law, and because he was running statewide, to jump out of the Democratic Party and run as an independent. I think that in a lot of congressional races, just practically speaking, people won't have that kind of wiggle room.
Well, that's exactly right. That was an extraordinary situation that he could file his petitions the day after the primary for to be on the independent line. That's not common in most states.
Yeah.
Peter,
John,
can I make a final point?
John, go ahead.
I can't help thinking of the contrast between Chamberlain and Churchill. Chamberlain is one of the most tragic figures in history. And why? Because he totally, totally misassessed the character of Adolf Hitler and what Hitler was going to do or capable of doing. Why is Churchill so renowned, and rightly? Because he understood it. And that's the difference right there. The Congress is still too full of Chamberlains. And we need people, and that's a job a politician should have naturally, is to assess character. And it's clear a lot of these people just aren't qualified to even be politicians. They should never have been elected.
John, you make a great point. Let's get a reaction from Bob Furtick. Chamberlain?
Well, I think that's an important point, and it's fed by the delusions of the members of Congress. They want to believe that Bush is an okay guy, that he's a guy you can reason with and that you can negotiate with. Well, after 7 years of this, you know, they ought to have learned by now. And there's a larger game going on that really is important to factor into your analysis of Iraq and whether he wants to get out of Iraq, which is Iran. And when we had Dick Cheney standing on an aircraft carrier last week, with five F-16s behind him, there are two aircraft carrier groups in Iran threatening Iran at any moment to destroy the country. Part of the reason for the second surge that we're just learning about is so that there would be more ground troops for an invasion of Iran. So you can't look at Iraq in isolation to the desire of Bush and Cheney to deal with Iran, to go to war with Iran, and this is kind of their last chance because as we head closer to the 2008 election, you know, people will not tolerate it. So we could be watching them maneuver to begin a war against Iran.
Well, that's a very important point, and just last week on this program, we talked with Oregon Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio, who submitted a bill that didn't win, but it would have banned the president from launching a war against Iran without congressional approval. And he says he'll be back with that bill again. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Bob Furtick from Democrats.com. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show, now heard on KPOJ 620 in Portland.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com. Stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. In a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And our music at the moment there from Midnight Oil, it's called My Country, Right or Wrong. We continue with Bob Furtick from Democrats.com. We're talking about the what appears to be a compromise in the making right before the Memorial Day weekend over funding the occupation of Iraq for the remainder of this fiscal year through October. And, Bob, during the break, we had a caller who couldn't hold on, Becky from Eureka, and she said she thinks that she needs to run from the Democratic Party. How can Democrats stay together during this very difficult process and try to bring along more conservative members of the Democratic Party and some of the key members of the Republican Party? That's what it's going to take to really produce the vote margins needed to show the president the Congress is serious.
Are you talking about in Congress, the votes in Congress?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I think threatening primaries will get some of those 59 Democrats who voted wrong to move. We've got 171 good votes to work with. That includes two Republicans. We should work on a few more Republicans, but, you know, by and large, they're a lost cause. But we only need 43 of votes to switch. That McGovern bill would have passed if we had 43 more votes. So we got 59 Democrats to work on. If we can get 43 of them to wake up, smell the coffee, see the light, then we'll win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think primary challenges are a good route to take, but in the meantime, how can we get the attention of these individuals who aren't voting in the right direction, as at least as we believe?
Well, the most aggressive advocacy that's going on is the Occupation Project, which is people are going into congressional offices and sitting down and refusing to leave until they get the member to commit to oppose the war. That's not for everybody. You're risking arrest, but if you're really passionate, that's one way to go about it.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the fundamentals from the point of view of Congress. I'm one of those people who firmly believes that the Democrats will be forced to cut off funding for the occupation in some form in order to get the president's attention and to really see a change in policy. Short of that, though, the Democrats could have used a proposal by Congressman Murtha for a series of short-term funding resolutions. Now, that's not perfect to me, but I consider it preferable to continuing to fund the war at the president's request level, roughly $100 billion.
Yeah, that proposal seems to have vanished in the past week. It was floated originally after Bush's veto, but didn't seem to get any traction. I kind of liked it, too. You know, it was called the short leash approach, and I thought it made sense. They would have given him 2 months and then forced him to report back to justify why he needed another 2 months. But I don't know why it didn't gain traction within Congress. Maybe they didn't want it to interfere with their summer vacations. I don't know.
Yeah, they wanted to have a nice long break like the Iraqi parliament, I guess. Mildred joins us from Coos Bay. Welcome, Mildred. You're on with Peter B. Collins and Bob Furtick.
Hi. Well, I wanted to tell you that I'm very angry that this country is still in Iraq, and we have no business being there, and it's all, you know, for the glory of George Bush. The other thing that I never thought I would think like this, but I'm becoming conspiratorial. You know, our National Guard, which is our militia, as, you know, talked about in the Constitution, is being destroyed in Iraq. Blackwater and other organizations are becoming their replacement. We already have to put up with phone taps and computer taps by a very suspicious government. I'm really concerned that we are not only just going to lose our rights, we're going to just jump right into a dictatorship.
But Mildred, Mildred, don't you feel safer?
Oh, come on, give me a break. Give me two breaks. But the other thing is that really bothers me, and I don't have enough information on this from what I'm reading and hearing, is I don't know if they have enough material on Bush and Cheney, particularly Cheney, to impeach them. From what I understand, if they could start the impeachment proceedings, it would go out as a warning to the neocons, to the people that want tyranny in this country, to knock it off. If they don't do anything with this bunch, the next neocon government that comes through is going to take even more of our rights and privileges away as Americans. And what bothers me is the American people just don't see it at all.
Well, you make a lot of good points here, Mildred, and Bob Furtick, I think, is eager to address your issues about impeachment. You think there's enough evidence to impeach Dick Cheney, Bob?
Oh, as to quote George Tenet, it's a slam dunk.
Well, then why aren't they slam dunking the both of them?
Well, they don't have the stomach to start an impeachment battle with Bush. They are afraid of him. They're afraid of Dick Cheney. They're afraid of Karl Rove. You know, I look at the polls. Bush is at all-time lows now. He's at 31 in one poll. You know, when you know, there's an old saying, when somebody's drowning, throw him an anvil. So,
well, that's about what it is. And what I don't understand, being a progressive Democrat, and I'm really ticked off about this, is, you know, if our elected representatives and senators are cowards, because that's what it's turning out to be, they're either afraid of not being reelected or somebody has something on each one of them, or, you know, they buy into the mythology that the country will just turn on the Democrats and say, well, you guys don't support the war, and, you know, you're a bunch of cowards and stuff, when supporting the war is getting out of Iraq. I mean, I don't want my country being owned by China and Saudi Arabia and all these other places, and I don't want my country to wind up being a dictatorship, but we're headed that way, and it's a big mess.
Well, Mildred, I appreciate your comments, and I can't disagree in any way, and I'm glad you're well-informed and willing to share your views. Thanks for calling today. And Bob Furtick, I'm sure you hear voices like that from all over America, and it must be frustrating that we don't hear the same level of commentary from our elected leaders.
Well, that's right. We are in the process of organizing town hall meetings around the country in the coming weeks, not on any given date, but that will be about impeachment, that will feature some of our most passionate voices. And in some of them, we're going to reach out to our members of Congress. For example, we're doing one in Detroit. Detroit City Council just passed an impeachment resolution. The chairman of the Detroit City Council happens to be the wife of Representative John Conyers.
So you're going to get some pillow talk going there.
We got some pillow talk, and John Conyers, of course, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, would lead the impeachment proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
And he's agreed to participate in the Detroit event. So we're trying to do this around the country. Our feeling is that, as strongly as we feel, that the members aren't really hearing our passion, and if they would come out and listen to us in these town hall settings, I think that would be very persuasive.
Bob Furtick, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today. Keep up the fight.
Thank you. You too.
And visit Democrats.com for more information. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Warn there could be up to 5 major hurricanes this year. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the Pentagon has begun work on Plan B. What happens if the troop surge in Iraq doesn't do the trick?
Commanders in the field report modest progress, but CBS News has been told they have also concluded the Iraqi government will not meet any of the benchmarks for political reconciliation among its warring factions. As Admiral William Fallon, the overall commander for the Middle East, put it, reconciliation isn't likely in the time we have available.
In the short term, President Bush appears to have prevailed in his struggle with Congress.
Determined to avoid another veto, Democrats are readying a bill to fund the Iraq war without any timetable to withdraw U.S. forces. It may set some requirements on the Iraqi government, but won't limit President Bush. Despite the retreat, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid insists they're not giving up on the broader goal.
We're going to continue our battle, and that's what it is, to represent the American people like they want us to represent them, to change the course of the war in Iraq.
But before leaving for Memorial Day, the intent is to provide the $100 billion the president says he needs to fund the war through October. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In a new effort to justify his strategy, President Bush has declassified intelligence that in early 2005, Osama bin Laden ordered the formation of a terrorist cell using Iraq as a base for launching attacks, particularly against the United States. Mr. Bush argues that Iraq can't be allowed to become a safe haven for terrorists. Now this.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Granger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
10 days before the start of hurricane season.
A government reminder.
Hurricanes are dangerous. They can be destructive. They can be lethal.
NOAA Administrator Conrad Lautenbacher expects 7 to 10 hurricanes, including 3 to 5 major storms this year.
We are right now in a period of more active hurricane seasons.
And forecaster Jerry Bell says this active period could last for decades.
Historically, other active eras have lasted 25 to 40 years. So we're now 12 years into an active hurricane era that could last 25 to 40 years.
June 1st, a week from Friday, is the official start of the season. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration has approved Librel, the new birth control pill that switches a woman's menstrual cycle to off.
No periods, no pregnancy. At least that's what women will be counting on when they take Librel. Taken every day, it indefinitely stops menstrual cycles. And it's safe, says the FDA's Dr. Daniel Seamus.
We don't suspect there are going to be any surprises in terms of long-term use of this product.
The FDA, though, is ordering drug maker Wyeth to conduct studies to track any adverse effects. And there's this warning to users.
Because Librel users will eliminate their regular periods, it may be difficult for women to recognize if they have become pregnant.
Librel should be on the market this summer. No price has yet been set. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
At the church Jerry Falwell founded, thousands gathered to say thank you today.
Bishop Jim Crisul in Lynchburg, Virginia. There were tears and testimonials as the people of Thomas Road Baptist Church came together to bid farewell to their beloved pastor, the Reverend Jerry Falwell. He was remembered for his vision, compassion, and personal convictions, a man committed to the gospel. Falwell died a week ago at the age of 73 after collapsing in his office at Liberty University.
Republican politicians who courted Falwell in life were conspicuously absent from the funeral. President Bush sent a representative. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If you're in a collision and airbags deploy, OnStar receives a signal and can initiate a call to check on you.
OnStar Emergency, this is Hawaii. Ma'am, are there any injuries?
Yes.
I currently have you on Jamestown Boulevard. I'm going to contact the police.
Police.
Hi, this is Hawaii calling from OnStar. I have a vehicle collision with airbag deployment. Hello?
Hello? Yes. I'm a witness to the accident. I was here when this happened. Are you sending an ambulance?
Yes. Is the driver okay?
She veered off and hit a pole. She's conscious, but she's not speaking.
We'll get help out there.
Even when you can't communicate, OnStar can locate your vehicle and call for help.
They're here. They're here right now.
Thank you for your help.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by G.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B., originating from San Francisco. And this is our debut outing on KPOJ 620, Progressive Talk in Portland, Oregon. Good to have you listening. For our Portland listeners, this program was recorded earlier in the week. And you can comment on it by dropping me an email. Send it to peter@peterbcollins.com. And that's the website where you can find out more about who this guy is and catch our live stream, our archive programs, that kind of thing. It's all available to you 24/7 at peterbcollins.com. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold in his regular weekly visit. He's an investigative reporter for truthout.org. He's been dogging Karl Rove and the Gonzalez U.S. attorney issues. And his colleague and our former producer here at the PBC show, Matt Renner, will both join us in about half an hour because there's some interesting developments in the Gonzalez case and also the battle over Karl Rove's emails. We'll learn more about that in about half an hour. But first, we want to help out some working people who may have hit a real crunch point. Think back a couple of years, you bought a house, you stretched yourself to the maximum, and to get into it with minimal money down, you signed up for one of those adjustable mortgages, an ARM. And now your arm is getting twisted because interest rates are going up, and in many parts of the country, selling prices are either stagnant or dropping. And that means that many families are financially underwater. It's a very tough time. And we're seeing it reflected in the fortunes of the sector of the finance industry called the subprime sector. And here on the program, I always like to turn to people who know more than I do, because when it comes to economics, I hit the wall in Econ 101. And Dr. Christian Weller didn't. His areas of expertise include retirement income security, macroeconomics, international finance. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington and formerly was a researcher at the Economic Policy Institute, EPI, in Washington. Dr. Weller, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter.
Now, I do understand that a lot of people are really getting squeezed and foreclosures hit 62% higher April in 07 than April of 06. What are some of the other indicators, statistics, that show the real problems that American families are confronting right now?
Well, we have seen throughout 2006 all measures of economic distress increasing sharply. That means we've seen increases in the bankruptcy rate. We have seen increases in the default rates on credit cards. We have seen increases in foreclosure rates. The foreclosure rate, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, that we saw at the end of 2006 was the highest on record, meaning in more than a quarter century. And the latest numbers that are coming out now show that indicate that the trend continued in 2007, and most people expected it to continue. And it's not surprising that we see foreclosures going up. And let me just make this very clear what we're talking about here. And I think the mortgage foreclosure numbers from the Mortgage Bankers Association is the most illustrative ones. The numbers we have for the last quarter of 2006 says 0.454% of all mortgages went into foreclosure. Doesn't sound a lot. The problem is, if you assume that people don't go through foreclosures every quarter, that means that you as a homeowner have a 1 in 10 chance to foreclose on your home within a 5-year period, or better than 1 in 10 chance. That is substantial, and I think that's really where the problem lies, that this is a real risk for a lot of people. And that is not surprising, because the problems here come from two sides, or from three sides, if you will. It's a trifecta, essentially. We have had a very weak labor market, meaning employment growth was low, wage growth was flat, people saw benefits disappear, and at the same time, costs for large items such as healthcare and housing went up, and people borrowed, often with what you called ARMs or variable interest rate on mortgages. So what that means is, we now still have weak income growth. We have actually, in some cases, declining income. And the costs of this massive amount of debt are increasing because these mortgage products are set so that after initial low payment period, there comes an increase in payments. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. And so it's basically hitting working families from all sides. It's the income picture and the debt picture and the high costs that are really squeezing them from all sides, and that ultimately translates into higher foreclosure rates, higher bankruptcy rates, because that's essentially the escape hatch that many families have, the only escape hatch that they often have.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Christian Weller from the Center for American Progress. If you have a question or comment about the mortgage situation, maybe you're in a crunch right now. He's not a mortgage broker, so we can't write you a new loan, but we can help you understand the situation you're in. And you can give us a call right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Dr. Weller, has this not been compounded by the changes to the bankruptcy laws, which were written in during the Republican-controlled Congress just about 3 years ago?
Well, the interesting thing is, yes, we saw a large run-up in bankruptcy applications just before the law went into effect in 2005. The interesting thing is, though, that all indications at this point is that most people now have to jump through a few more hurdles, but still go into bankruptcy the way they did before, and we have seen rising bankruptcy rates. I mean, that's exactly what we argued when we argued against the bankruptcy law, is that there aren't any deadbeats out there, that people do this because they see no other way and they have no other alternatives. And that's ultimately also showing in the numbers. It does increase the new bankruptcy law. It does make it harder for people to go through the bankruptcy and wipe the slate clean. It adds additional costs and additional hurdles, but ultimately that's where people are going because there really are no alternatives for them.
And Dr. Weller, do the numbers reflect a shift as a result of the bankruptcy law changes, meaning that there are people who have their homes foreclosed and they lose their homes, but they do not end up in bankruptcy because the hurdles are so great?
We don't know that yet. We have very little data on the bankruptcy side because that's certainly something that people have to, like, dig through the records. We don't know exactly what is going on. But the indications from the preliminary numbers is that people go through the same bankruptcy process that they did before. They just have to jump through a number of hurdles in terms of counseling and other things that add costs, a layer of costs to the process. But by and large, there was a paper that came out in 2006 called Where Are All the Deadbeats that found 97% of people who apply for bankruptcy ultimately end up in the same process as before.
Now, you referenced some of the somewhat hidden cost increases that average families have incurred since Bush became president. Healthcare is the huge one, where there's been a massive shift from what was previously 100% employer-paid healthcare to now a situation where the average worker is shouldering often half or more of the burden of healthcare for that person and their family. And likewise, we're here in California, where the governor has held pretty firm to a pledge of no new taxes. There have been some fee increases, but no increase in the income tax or the sales tax, so he can narrowly claim that he's held on to that pledge. But the price is very steep for the average California family, not only health and pension costs, saving for retirement, but also we've had routine 7 to 10% increases at the community college, state college, and University of California system. And these are costs that are taxes that are being borne by many families, but don't get reported in the media as quote-unquote tax increases.
Well, the cost increases, the large cost increases come, as you said, on the healthcare side, but also on the housing side. They also have come in the last few years on the transportation and energy side.
Yeah.
And on top of that, for middle-class families who want to send their kids to college or want to get an additional degree or additional education, the costs have also gone up. And then there's a number of factors here at play. The one thing is that the employers and the government have withdrawn their support for these issues, for these items, and that means that people have to basically shoulder more. And even when employers, for instance, still offer health care or health insurance coverage, the costs associated with that have also gone up. And what that means is that basically people would have to save more money to achieve the same level of security. The problem is that at the same time the costs are going up, incomes have been flat, and that ultimately meant that people actually saved less. We have had now 8 quarters of a negative savings rate, where people spent more money than they have. And that's exactly the opposite of what ideally should be happening at the time that we're shifting more risk onto families.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Christian Weller. He's an economist and an expert on these issues. We're talking about high-risk home loans, about the subprime mortgage industry. When we return, I want to get his thoughts on whether the problems in the industry will ripple through to the people who are paying those loans, often at very high interest rates. And if you have a question or comment, you can call us right now, toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. More coming up straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey.
You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
There we go. All right, traffic this afternoon. We're going to talk about a major problem in the Redwood City area, because if you're traveling there, South 101 at Woodside, it's a big rig that overturned. All southbound lanes completely shut down. Traffic is slow from Holly. Northbound, the only left lane is open at this point, and traffic is slow from before Marsh. You should use Highway 280. Avoid El Camino Real. Meanwhile, we're going to take a look at a situation working, Santa Cruz, Bonnie Dune Road at Smith Grade. A vehicle hit a tree. CHP is there. They're waiting for fire department and paramedics to arrive as well. Salinas, Baranda Road at San John Road. An accident there. An SUV went off the roadway and landed into a ditch. A support brought to you by Outdoor World. Now till May 28th, save big on clothing and gear you want at Outdoor World store-wide sale. Gear up for summer sale.
Allen Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking about subprime lending, adjustable mortgages, and the crunch that has hit many working families in America. Dr. Christian Weller is with us from the Center for American Progress. And Dr. Weller, in simple terms that even I can understand, what is the linkage here? We've seen several subprime lenders hit the rocks. A couple have filed for bankruptcy themselves. And what's the ripple effect to the borrowers from the misfortunes of the lenders?
Well, that's an important question. Many subprime lenders are concentrated especially among lower income, but also minority communities. And the fear is, and we seem to be seeing that, that as these subprime lenders basically fold, there's about 50 of them who've gone out of business at this point, that simply credit dries up, and you're going basically from a flood of credit to no credit at all. And that makes it harder for people to, in particular communities, to sell their homes, because new buyers just simply don't have access to credit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's particularly concentrated among minority communities, especially Latino community, but it's also a problem ultimately for small businesses. More than 50% of all small businesses, of all unincorporated businesses, are mortgages. And as the mortgage market is shrinking, as the access to credit is tightening, that ultimately will make it harder for small business owners to expand. And I think that's one of the concerns that we have at this point, that we really went from a flood of credit from where everybody could, and their grandmother could basically get credit for anything that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We now may see a dearth of credit for good ventures.
Let's talk to Jerry in Santa Cruz. Jerry, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Weller.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment, and then I'll just listen on the air, and it's nothing new, but it seems to me that that a lot of the issues were the people just making poor financial decisions and buying what they ultimately could not afford. It seems like the writing was on the wall a number of years ago. I've owned in Santa Cruz for over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But just recently you saw people just flooding the market, taking advantage of these ARM loans when it seemed pretty clear to me that in, you know, a short period of time that it was going to come back to bite them. And so.
Well, this is a very important issue because there are some borrowers who think that they were seduced taking on a mortgage that they didn't qualify for and couldn't really afford. And there are some lenders who feel that borrowers went too far and that they took risks, assuming particularly here in California, that the equity in their homes would only go up. Dr. Weller, is there truth on both sides?
I'm going to just hang up and listen if I can. That'd be great.
Gotcha, thanks. Jerry. Thanks. Go ahead, doctor.
There's some truth to that. But let's just be realistic. I mean, we're talking here about homes, and people need a roof over the head, especially where the jobs are, which is largely the coastal areas where home prices have gone through the roof. And in those situations, home buyers or people generally were faced the last few years with an untenable situation because more and more rental properties were converted into condos or just simply for sale properties. And that meant that if you wanted to live somewhat close to where you worked, meaning within an hour and a half to drive, you had to ultimately buy at rising prices. And with incomes not rising, that ultimately meant you needed to see what at least in the short run was often the cheapest option, and that is what is called variable interest rate loans or adjustable rate mortgages, which at least give you initially a lower payment. The hope was obviously that people would ultimately see wage increases and benefit increases, but the hope was also that if all things go wrong, that at least they can sell the home for the value of the mortgage. And neither one of those two has come true. But I think what drove people off is not the desire to have an outsized home, but to have a home in a safe neighborhood that is somewhat close to their work. And I think that's often much more driving factor. There are clear instances where people overextended beyond where they were, and there are instances where lenders just went, but like the brokers went beyond what was suitable. Mm-hmm. And Congress is looking at that. It's called a suitability standard to basically assess all circumstances of a borrower to make sure that the person can not only afford the initial payments, which may be lower than the later payments, but can all afford all payments over the course of the life of a loan. And that's certainly a valid policy discussion at this point, but I don't think it's the majority of cases that we saw in the last few years.
So, Dr. Weller, what kind of alternatives do people have? Are there government programs to help them refinance? Are there private programs, either from Good Samaritans or from predatory lenders, who can help bail people out of these adjustable rate mortgages and get them into a fixed that is affordable at their current income levels?
Well, there's a number of ways to address the problem that people face at this point, particularly rising and often unaffordable mortgage payments. The first thing is clearly if you're in a situation and you see that train wreck coming your way, you might want to call your lender because by and large, no bank has really an interest in becoming a real estate agent and foreclosing on your home. In many cases, the lenders are interested in working with the borrowers to find a workable solution. In some cases, you might want to talk to community organizations that have mortgage assistance in foreclosure prevention programs to just simply get the assistance to talk to the lender about refinancing the loan, renegotiating the terms of the loan. And in some cases, they may suggest that you talk to a lawyer. They often have legal assistance programs because some of the conditions are predatory and even fraudulent. And in those cases, you might want to take legal action or at least threaten legal action against the lender. But I think there's a number of things here, and the point is to do this sooner rather than later. If you see that you're struggling and there may be a problem, talk to the lender or talk to a community-based agency that has those programs, mortgage assistance programs. They exist in almost all larger communities at this point.
And whatever you do, stay away from the payday loan sharks. Thank you very much.
Well, you're right.
Dr. Christian Weller, nice to talk with you today.
Thank you very much.
He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is at the controls today and driving pretty carefully.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Compromise is in the air. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The House is about to give the president what he demanded, a bill to fund the troop surge with nothing attached at all except a minimum wage increase for American workers, because nothing frightens an insurgent like well-paid fast food jobs, I guess. Instead of a timetable, the legislation would include goals for the Iraqis to meet on pain of losing reconstruction aid, the same aid which was supposed to help win hearts and minds. The message apparently being, meet these goals, or we'll make it even tougher for you to meet these goals. Legislation is an imperfect way to run a war. But something is happening out there. 9/11 Commission member Bob Kerry's in the Wall Street Journal today urging fellow Democrats to face the reality that whatever they think about George Bush, Al-Qaeda is still real, still wants to take us down. And like it or not, Iraq is where we have to prove who's boss, us or them. Meantime, the Associated Press quotes a senior Bush official as warning the Iraqi government that the president himself has a plan B if nothing improves by the fall. And David Ignatius, also quoting a top administration official, writes in the Washington Post that the plan B is this: change the mission toward training and advising Iraqi troops as opposed to continued U.S. combat operations, so that combat troops would redeploy, we'd rely more on help from Iraq's neighbors, including Iran and Syria, and special forces would remain behind to deal with Al-Qaeda. And that's what the Iraq Study Group recommended. So American casualties would drop, but members of Al-Qaeda would still get plenty of martyrdom assistance, and the result might someday be called victory. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of. Just knew too much. Does that make me?
Alberto Gonzalez scandal continues as we head into the Memorial Day weekend. He's clinging to his job as Attorney General, and early in the week, the president issued another statement of support for Gonzalez, saying, well, he hadn't done anything wrong, and he went up there and answered all those questions. Well, I respectfully and disrespectfully disagree with the president's assessment. And there's more on this story as we learn more about emails and other communications, some damage control underway. And we turn now to our intrepid pal, Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He's the investigative reporter and also author of a personal memoir called News Junkie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Doing fine today. And we're joined by your colleague and my former producer, Matt Renner, who is now a reporter with you at truthout.org. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Oh, it's good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Well, you guys have been doing excellent work together and separately. Let's start off with the article that was posted at Truth Out Monday, the 21st of May, regarding those emails that we know exist, but Karl Rove says, gosh, they lost them. And this, you know, strains credulity. Because we're not back there in the Nixon era with Rosemary Woods and that funky dictaphone that she pretzeled herself into some contortion to cause an 18-minute gap in the Nixon tape. As we know, emails are saved on the computers that they originate on and generally on the servers that are used to transmit them from one destination to another. And we know that much of Karl Rove's communication by email has occurred not on the official White House servers, as policy dictates, but on servers controlled by the Republican National Committee, which, of course, raises suspicions on the part of people like me that he was hiding things by using the RNC emails and servers so that they could not be discovered, say, by a subpoena from Henry Waxman. Jason, what do we know about the missing Rove emails?
Well, the missing emails are said to, at least by members of Congress, that the emails would implicate Rove further in the firings of these eight U.S. attorneys, or nine, depending on, you know, what day of the week it is. You know, the Republican National Committee is saying that it lost thousands of Rove's emails. They're trying to locate it. However, they won't turn it over to these committees before the White House looks at it. But more than that, the Justice Department recently released additional documents responding to a subpoena by Patrick Leahy, the Senate Judiciary Chairman, who asked for Rove's emails, and the Justice Department produced a single email over a three-year period that had Karl Rove's fingerprints on it or materials that was sent to Karl Rove. And that is there's something wrong with that, first of all, simply because we know that there's been communication between various people in the Justice Department and Karl Rove. They're claiming that the search that they conducted only turned up a single email, and that has a the story that Matt and I published on earlier this week. We basically tried to establish that this is a pattern. This is a pattern that actually had its genesis back during the CIA leak investigation, in which Karl Rove had sent an email and that implicated him in the leak, but could not find it. In fact, nobody even knew about it until it became clear that one of the reporters, Matt Cooper from Time Magazine, would be forced to testify. So we're starting to see a pattern here of the way that Karl Rove certainly conducts business and the way that the Justice Department and the White House insulate him.
Mm-hmm. Matt, you want to add something here?
Well, yeah, I think it's a very interesting situation also. Jason and I have been covering this topic for a while. I think Jason got started when he was covering the Fitzgerald case on these missing emails, and it's kind of curious. You know, these are the documents that have caused all of the scandals to blow up in these people's faces so far. And to say that there's missing emails, 5 million at the White House possibly, or actually probably more, and then all these ones at the RNC that they say they can't find is amazing. And we got a huge clue today that we're really on the right course here, because Susan Ralston, associate of Abramoff and Rove, who's kind of like a key player, a go-between between the White House and Abramoff, we think.
Right. She was Jack Abramoff's assistant, and then in 2001 went to work for Rove at the White House, and there is a paper trail of emails where she was the go-between used by Abramoff to communicate with Rove.
Exactly. And her testimony, she basically, in depositions with Waxman's committee, the oversight committee in the House, she said she's not going to answer questions regarding communications between the White House and Abramoff, or any questions about RNC emails. So we got a big clue there that basically told us that we're looking at we're putting the pieces together well here, and this is definitely a bigger issue, like Jason and I suspected from the beginning.
Yeah, Susan Ralston is somebody that certainly knows where the bodies are buried.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if she's requesting immunity, she's doing so because either her attorney or somebody had advised her to request immunity because of the possibility that, you know, it could turn into a criminal investigation and she could incriminate herself.
Well, and a generous interpretation would be, since Jack Abramoff has already been, he's pled and been convicted, that all of the law-breaking was in relation to Abramoff's lobbying schemes and his graft and the way he was buying influence in Washington. That's a very generous approach. But knowing the way Karl Rove has operated, one has to have a reasonable suspicion that she's concerned about being exposed to legal liabilities on,
exactly,
on that side of the transaction, the Rove side.
Sure. You do not assert your Fifth Amendment privilege unless you fear that you could be dragged into it and it could come back to bite you. I think that there is definitely going to be this entire investigation or investigations, one way or another, is going to lead to a criminal inquiry. And, the fact that Susan Ralston is somebody who was not quite high profile, but she was in the right position to know who said what, when. We do know at this point that she had, on behalf of Karl Rove, had accepted tickets to concerts and basketball championship games. But the common thread, again, in all of these different scandals is the fact that there truly is a paper trail. That's what's sort of remarkable here. There is a paper trail. That paper trail is in the form of email. The individual who's most at the center of all of these scandals is Karl Rove, and we have Congress trying to obtain these emails, and the common thread, again, is that all these various different Bush administration agencies saying, we can't find it.
That's Jason Leopold from truthout.org. His colleague and writing partner, Matt Renner, is with us, too, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, we've got lines available at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Matt, I just received a story from you that's being published on Tuesday, which shows a couple of things. One is that these emails indicate that there's a damage control operation underway in the aftermath of the disclosures of how these U.S. attorneys wound up on a list. Magically, nobody can claim responsibility for that list. And now a guy named Mark McKinnon has been called in with a big fire hose.
Right. I had never heard of this guy. I should have, but I had never had. He's a heavyweight strategist, is how I phrased him in my piece for the Republican Party. He started Maverick Media Incorporated, who did $170 million in business with the Bush-Cheney 2004 presidential campaign. So he's clearly an insider. There's some emails between him and the Office of Strategic Initiatives, which is also a new office for me in the White House.
Uh-huh.
That's actually an office, if I just interrupt a moment, that's an office that Karl Rove had set up again. Karl Rove, just about six employees in that office, and it's, Matt, you could say what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, basically, according to the website, they plan, develop, and coordinate long-range strategy for achieving presidential priorities and conduct research and assist in message development. It's basically an in-house think tank, is how I've heard it described.
And message development, that can be called spin, propaganda. That's, trying to control how the White House is depicted and perceived.
Exactly. And so this guy clearly got brought in. He works for he's also the vice chairman for a PR company called Public Strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Basically does PR for corporations who are in trouble. And it's interesting because on their website they have some telling information in the About Us section. They say they work with clients to, quote, turn risky public situations to their advantage.
Yep.
And advise them to pay as much attention to issues in the public arena as they do to running their day-to-day business. I mean, this screams Bush administration.
Yes, it certainly does.
Yeah, and I think that, what's fascinating about this is that as you started out earlier, Peter, by mentioning that President Bush reiterated his support for Gonzalez, saying that he did nothing wrong, the president's public statements are in direct contradiction to what we have seen in documents, in testimony. The fact is that, Alberto Gonzalez clearly was lying, lying before Congress. At least that's what these emails and documents demonstrate. Was not being forthcoming about what took place behind the scenes. Had turned over power to two, very young, inexperienced officials who ran amok and started to, put together a strategy for getting rid of these U.S. attorneys. And at this point, we don't even know how many. I mean, the numbers are 8, 9, it could be 30. But, I think what's really interesting in all of this is that clearly behind the scenes, and on earlier this week, there was a document dump again by the Justice Department. It just shows that behind the scenes, they were doing everything in their power to justify this. Their talking points were that they knew that there was something wrong, that this wasn't going to fly with members of Congress and the Senate, but they needed to justify it. They tapped this outside consultant, GOP strategist to help disseminate the message.
And do we know who's paying the tab for this PR damage control?
It's unclear right now. We don't know if he was actually hired or just consulted. They did use his company email address, and it looks like he was in some kind of capacity as a consultant.
Uh-huh.
Because it's strange. There's only one email from him in the document release.
Right.
But it looks like he's been in on the picture because he didn't start fresh. That was my impression, at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear, and we don't have conclusive evidence that he was paid yet, but I spoke with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and they're very interested in this because the White House has a history of hiring PR firms to help spin their messages and to, actually create what some would call propaganda. I mean, we look back at Armstrong Williams, who
right.
was paid $240,000 to help basically spread the word about No Child Left Behind.
And that is so offensive because no one has made any effort to buy my influence all of this time that they've been in charge there in Washington, and I find that deeply troubling. We're going to take a break and return. Matt Renner and Jason Leopold from truthout.org. We're talking about Gonzalez and Rove and all the related issues to the U.S. attorney cases. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join this conversation. Toll free, 888-573-8372. Or visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation. And you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Okay, everybody, let's take a look at the latest. Huge problem in Redwood City. It is South 101 at Woodside Road. It's an injury crash with a big rig blocking all southbound lanes. Well, again, southbound lanes completely shut down. It's been shut down since about 1 o'clock. Traffic slows from Holly northbound. Only the left lane is shut down. Traffic is slow from Marsh Road. You can use 280, but you should avoid El Camino Real. Let's also take a look at some stuff in Santa Cruz. Salinas Monterey area, Bonnie Dune Road at Smith Grade. We have an accident there, and apparently this is a crash, a vehicle into a tree. Fire department paramedics on scene. Also want to take a look at, Salinas Baranda at San John. An SUV went off the roadway and landed into a ditch there. Highway 17 checking in with no problems. This report brought to you by Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep.
Coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show just after the top of the hour, Matthew Rothschild, the editor of The Progressive, will join us. And this is a story that I first learned about from a listener, Janice in Coos Bay, just the other day. It's another power grab by George W. Bush. We'll describe it for you coming up straight ahead. We continue now with Jason Leopold and Matt Renner. They're reporters at truthout.org. And we're talking about this messy situation in Washington that the president dismisses as political theater. And as we head into the Memorial Day weekend, there is an effort in both houses to push through no confidence votes related to the future prospects of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. And Jason Leopold, you're a reporter, and you don't have to delve into opinion too much, but my feeling is that the president will continue to deflect a non-binding resolution like a no-confidence vote, and I think the Democrats ought to get ready for an impeachment process against Gonzalez. What's your sense?
Yeah, I think that, again, for President Bush, this loyalty, this support for Gonzalez is more personal than it has to do with, obviously, with politics. This is the president not wanting to give an inch to Democrats. I believe that President Bush certainly does see this as, the way he said it, as political theater, because he's looking at it, he's not looking at the big picture here. He's looking at this as, Gonzalez testifies, I'm the president, I'm allowed to fire U.S. attorneys. But clearly, that question has now become, was this a politically motivated purge, if you will?
Well, but I think, and this gets into speculative territory clearly, because there's still a lot of information not available. But as I look at this picture, I think that the president is holding on to Gonzalez because he is the last line of defense in front of one Karl Rove. Jason?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna disagree in saying that I don't believe that it's a choice of throwing Gonzalez under the bus that he'll wind up singing like a canary. I think that in his inner circle, they believe that under the law that they interpret, the way they interpret the law, they have absolute power to do whatever it is they please. And I think at this point, backing Gonzalez is purely stubbornness on the president's part. He, obviously the Republicans are just getting battered, by this scandal and others as well. That the way that he described it yesterday is very telling about the way he looks, the way that he sees this. He sees this as political theater. That I'm the president. I can do what I want.
Yeah, the commander guy. But let me turn to Matt for a comment on this, because what really strikes me is that the biggest gap here is that Gonzalez cannot say how those names got on the list for termination, the U.S. attorneys. And since the president, the vice president, virtually everybody at the Justice Department have been ruled out, my big theory is that the Wednesday meeting between Monica Goodling and Karl Rove that was focused on judicial appointments and U.S. attorney issues, that's where I'd like to probe next, because my hackles are up and that's where my suspicions are. Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what this comes down to is it's hardball, pure and simple. And we've predicted this coming for a long time now, ever since we used to, keep our fingers crossed that the Democrats would take back power in 2006, and they did so. But we knew this was coming, where, the president was going to buckle down, hide in his little closet with him and, what was it, him and his dog and his wife or something like
yeah.
that,
mm-hmm.
and not care about what anyone said, even the media, or not care about the damage he does to his party. But he's going to save face, and he's going to save those that are loyal to him. And, it's not surprising in a way. It's just amazingly audacious. And the interesting thing to me is, the conclusion I've come to, in my opinion, is that the impeachment process is the only thing that's going to stop him. And, it's going to, again, Democrats have figured out a way to get themselves into a situation where the ball is, of course, in the hands of Republicans. And they're kind of steering this ship and just seeing how bad it's going to get before they decide to actually turn on the president and, walk into his office and say, you're going to have to step down if this is going to get any better.
And just the other day, we were talking with Jim Dean, who is Howard Dean's brother, and he went to great lengths to say that they are not working together professionally, wink and a nod. But Jim Dean at democracyforamerica.com has posted a video clip, it's less than 2 minutes, produced by Robert Greenwald, a fabulous progressive documentarian, and it really shows Bush's claims of support and Gonzalez's memory problems and other dissembling under oath before the committees on the Hill. And I think that there is a growing sense that if the no-confidence vote doesn't cause him to get the message and offer his resignation, that at least some Democrats are prepared to go to that step, and I fully support that. Jason?
Yeah, I think that they definitely would go to that step. I think that, first of all, what we heard, the testimony that we heard from James Comey, the former deputy attorney general, who had revealed that Gonzalez, when he was White House counsel, went and tried to strong-arm John Ashcroft, who was hospitalized. What's interesting is that, following that episode, Gonzalez or folks in the speaking for him said that he and Andrew Card had no idea that James Comey at the time was deputy attorney general, or I'm sorry, was acting attorney general.
That's right.
And what my point is in that is, he's saying that he had no idea what's going on, and they continuously hide behind this. I don't recall, I don't remember. Certainly Condoleezza Rice is notorious for that. And I do think that the no confidence vote, it's non-binding,
mm-hmm.
but it really does it forces Republicans to get on the record and say whether or not they'll continue to back him.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for great work. I want to direct people to truthout.org. Look for the bylines, Jason Leopold and Matt Renner, and read all about it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Peter.
Good to talk to you both. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive about a new power grab by George W. Bush. That's next on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. What if the surge fails? CBS News correspondent David Martin reports officials at the Pentagon are thinking about that.
They have begun work on a plan B, which right now is not really a plan, but a bunch of ideas on how the U.S. would change course in Iraq. The problem is there really aren't any good options because they've all been looked at before.
While U.S. commanders report some progress in putting down the violence, they've concluded the Iraqi government is not likely to reconcile warring factions anytime soon. Democrats in Congress are giving in.
We have said that we would have a supplemental by the time we left for the Memorial Day weekend, and we will.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says they'll give President Bush the money he needs to fund the war without a timetable for withdrawal, but the measure will include some domestic spending, which Mr. Bush didn't want. The president is launching a new offensive to justify his strategy in Iraq.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush has declassified intelligence material to show that Osama bin Laden ordered his subordinates in Iraq to use the country as a staging area for attacks on the U.S. and other nations. Mr. Bush will cite the intelligence Wednesday in his commencement speech at the Coast Guard Academy to make the case that U.S. security is at stake in Iraq.
The Atlantic and Gulf coasts had better watch out.
For 2007, we're predicting a high probability of an above-normal Atlantic hurricane season.
Government forecaster Jerry Bell says they're expecting between 13 and 17 tropical storms, with as many as 10 of them becoming hurricanes. But the head of NOAA says it just takes one to make it a bad year. As expected, the Food and Drug Administration has approved Librel, the new birth control pill that can eliminate a woman's menstrual cycle. The maker, Wyeth, says it should be available in July. In Lynchburg, Virginia today,
when engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea,
the funeral for Reverend Jerry Falwell was held at the church he founded. CBS News correspondent Drew Levinson was there.
Thomas Road Baptist Church was packed today for Falwell's funeral. In fact, thousands of people waited for hours in line just to get inside the mega church. And those who couldn't make it inside crowded into a football stadium and a basketball coliseum to watch the funeral on a big screen. It was also played on all three local television stations here in the Lynchburg area.
Reverend Pat Robertson, who attended the funeral, said Falwell stepped on some toes, but he was a champion of the fundamental values that we hold dear. On Wall Street, a quiet day. The Dow Industrials 2 points lower at the close to 13,539. The Nasdaq 9 points higher at 2588. This is CBS News.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before. So remember, always buckle up or you will get caught day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take On Orbit, the travel game where you could save $75 when you customize your next trip to Vegas. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com right now and customize your Vegas jackpot vacation. Book the exact hotel and flight you want together and save $75. So book your trip on Orbitz.com and head to Vegas already a winner.
Save $75 on 4-plus nights on qualifying hotel plus flight packages. Valid for travel 430 through 83107. Book by 6307. Subject to availability. See Orbitz.com for terms and conditions.
You might be surprised to see a help wanted sign at your local car dealer. CBS News correspondent John Harchi has that story.
America's big three automakers have been cutting jobs lately, but dealerships that sell and service cars are looking to hire.
There are nearly 109,000 career jobs available at dealerships all across the country.
Denise Patton Pace of Automotive Retailing Today says they go beyond the sales and technician jobs familiar to us all.
Administrative positions and bookkeeping and finance.
And there's the dealer's Hire the Heroes program.
Dealerships have stepped up and they've hired about 30,000 vets.
Some dealers have possibilities, too, for summer job seekers. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
In Iran today, gasoline prices jumped 25%. Iran is one of the world's major oil producers, but like the United States, it doesn't have enough refineries to turn the oil into gasoline. Of course, most American drivers would gladly trade place with Iranians. Even with this hike, they're paying 38 cents a gallon. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Granger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, Cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, let's impeach the president before he declares martial law. Thanks for joining us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate in San Francisco, and we take your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone this hour. Lines are wide open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And my longtime listeners know the rules. You can talk about any subject from any viewpoint and call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice, including our massive and disparate online audience all over the country listening on those tiny little speakers on your computer. And I want to welcome our new listeners on the weekends at KPOJ 620, Progressive Talk in Portland, Oregon. We're delighted to be on KPOJ every weekend, Saturday and Sundays. And this program was recorded before you're hearing it in Portland. And if you want more information, you can log on to peterbcollins.com. Send me an email. Oh, you can address it to humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And I appreciate suggestions that you have about topics that you think ought to be covered on the program, guests whose voices you would like to have heard on this program. And, for example, the very next segment here that I'm about to introduce with Matt Rothschild, we need to blame Janice in Coos Bay, Oregon, because she wrote me the other day and passed along this article that was posted at truthout.org. And she said, "I'm a dedicated listener of your show here in Coos Bay. I saw this article and thought you might like to read it. The Bush administration seems to stop at nothing." And it's an article penned by our next guest, Matthew Rothschild. He's editor of The Progressive, also hosts the Progressive's radio show. He's based in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show today, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Peter B. How are you?
Doing well. And this article has been ricocheting around the web. Mark Crispin Miller sent it out on his distribution list. I've got it from about six different directions. And that's just my own little focus group way of saying this is a hot one. Tell us about the plans, this new national security presidential directive, which lays out a blueprint for how Bush will take over in the event of a catastrophic emergency.
Well, it's pretty frightening stuff. And the thing about this document is it's right there for everybody to see. If you go to whitehouse.gov, it was issued from the press office on May 9th, and it's called the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive. And it's about what President Bush envisions for himself and for the country in the event of a catastrophic emergency. And I think we should, just as a preface, imagine, you know, what he's dreaming up, because here's a guy who doesn't really believe in our system of democracy anyway. He doesn't really believe in the other two branches having any control over him. So that's a backdrop. Mm-hmm. You look at this document, and he anoints himself to be the single person in all of the government, not just the executive branch, but the whole thing, who's in charge of ensuring our constitutional system of government.
Well, I mean,
so
he
puts himself above the legislative and the judicial branches.
He did such a great job after Hurricane Katrina. He was, Bushy on the spot there in Kansas after the tornadoes this year. I mean, he's a hands-on, can-do crisis manager. Who else could we imagine in charge, like Brownie?
Well, it's frightening to me to envision Bush taking over and giving direction to the legislative branch and the judicial branch and the state governments and the tribal governments, because that's what this document says he's going to do. And it could be another Katrina, because the document says Bush could have these powers in the event of localized acts of nature. There's Katrina or a tornado. Mm-hmm. Accidents and technological or attack-related emergencies. So if the computer system goes down, as they thought it was going to be the millennium,
right,
he could do it. It's not just of Al-Qaeda attacks. So he's giving himself grand powers, the details of which we don't know, in part because the person he assigns to this, who's his Homeland Security czar, is supposed to report back in 90 days. And then, of course, there's all the classified stuff. And this document says there's more material in the classified continuity annexes. I'd love to know what is involved in those annexes and what kind of power they're taking. I also, Peter B., think we should have this in the context of comments that previous Bush administration officials have made concerning the possibility of declaring martial law in the United States.
Yeah.
After all, it was General Tommy Franks who led the initial invasion of Iraq, who said if the United States is attacked again, we're going to have to suspend the Constitution. And then William Downing, not many people remember this, he was a deputy to Condoleezza Rice at the National Security Council. He said in the event of another attack, this time with weapons of mass destruction, we've got to declare martial law. So if the guy who's second in command at the National Security Council was talking aloud about martial law, this was in the Washington Post, you got to think they have plans on the drawing boards for suspending our Constitution.
Now, sorry if I've been too influenced by the Fox News Channel and that kind of phony Republican debate recently, but is there a role here for Jack Bauer in such an emergency?
Oh, I think, you know, Jack Bauer has been empowered already, and they're all fantasizing about being Jack Bauer, all those Republican white men were the other night, as you suggest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really sad what's happened to our democracy with the torture scandal and with Bush exerting extra constitutional powers with his signing statements and with the NSA spying and with all this other stuff he's done, to say nothing of lying us into a war in Iraq. So he really doesn't respect our system, and it's not surprising then that he's issuing demands for proposals and plans for what he can do next.
And Matt Rothschild, you credit Daily Coast poster Leo Fender for alerting you to this issue, and I want to credit you for really sounding the alarm, because the corporate media, well, you know, it sweeps, and we haven't really picked the winner of American Idol yet. I'm sure they'll get around to it. It's just a priority thing, right?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable to me that the mainstream media barely touched this. I saw about three paragraphs in the L.A. Times and the Washington Post, and that was it. Whereas some people in the mainstream media have known that there are these drafts of martial law on the drawing boards. I'm talking about Ted Koppel, who mentioned it a couple years ago, who said if we're attacked again, these guys want to institute martial law, and Thomas Friedman of the New York Times even hinted that our system's going to really take a hit if we're attacked again by terrorists. So if these influential people in the media understand that this is on the drawing boards, why aren't they showing us? Why aren't they writing about it? Why aren't they doing specials on is martial law around the corner instead of, you know, waiting for Daily Coast and the Progressive magazine to do it?
Yeah, this is stunning. And I'm thinking back to the Cold War when there were contingency plans. There's some sort of a bunker under the Greenbrier in West Virginia where the leaders from Washington are supposed to be hustled underground in the event of, I suppose, a nuclear attack. Is there any kind of command and control aspect that is in the public aspect of this presidential order, or is that, you think, covered in the secret portions of it?
Oh, no, there's a lot. You're right, Peter B., in this document about what they call continuity of government. So let me just read a bit. Continuity requirements shall be incorporated into daily operations of all executive departments and agencies. As a result of the asymmetric threat environment, adequate warning of potential emergencies that could pose a significant risk to the homeland might not be available, and therefore all continuity planning shall be based on the assumption that no such warning will be received. So they have each department within the executive branch having to draw plans for where their executives are going to go in the occasion of a catastrophic emergency.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that on 9/11, the president was reading children's books and then went on a fly-around tour of the country, and Dick Cheney was actually in charge there in the Situation Room at the White House. What kind of role is envisioned for the vice president under this new National Security Presidential Directive?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Peter B., because I read through this document and didn't see the vice president's fingerprints all over it until about my second or third time through, but there he is, lingering in the shadows as usual. This directive shall be implanted in a manner that is consistent with and facilitates effective implementation of constitutional requirements and with the consultation of the vice president. Well, so the vice president is going to be in on this from the very beginning, it looks like.
Now, I thought you misspoke, but I'm reading from your document, and the verb there is implanted. The directive shall be implanted? Is that a mistake? Isn't it implemented that they want it?
I would think it was implemented, but you just don't know, do you?
Now, that's a Jack Bauer angle right there. What kind of implants does Cheney have?
I don't know. You know, his fingerprints have been on every single crime that the Bush administration has committed, from the Iraq War to the torture stuff to the NSA spying. And so it's not a surprise to me that, you know, Cheney was in on this. I'm betting that Cheney's lawyers were the ones who really hustled this. Now, I have no evidence on that, but Cheney's lawyers have been hustling a lot of the stuff. They hustled the torture stuff through Alberto Gonzalez when he was White House counsel. So,
well, and Cheney has been open since about 1973 that he believes that Watergate cost too much in terms of presidential prerogative and raw power, and he's been hell-bent to restore or expand that, and this is an indication of just that. Anything you'd like to add in closing, Matt?
No, I just think we should pressure people in Congress, Democrats at the House Judiciary or the Homeland Security Oversight Committee to hold investigations and hearings on this before the thing gets further down the track.
Well, thanks for breaking the story to us. We really appreciate it, and thanks for joining us today.
Peter B., my pleasure as always.
Read all about it at progressive.org. If you go to .com, you got to buy car insurance. Progressive.org. Matthew Rothschild, its editor, has been our guest. Coming up next, we throw open the phone lines. It's the Free Speech Zone. You got a comment or a question? I want to hear it. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Traffic in the Monterey Salinas area. We're going to take a look at Baranda Road at San Juan. It's a crash. A vehicle went off the roadway there, hit a tree to be more precise, and then it looks like also landed in a ditch as well. So speaking of Salinas, Baranda at San Juan, we have a vehicle that landed. Oh, we just mentioned that one. So Bonnie Dune at Smith Gray, it's a vehicle into a tree. CHP and fire crew is actually on scene at this point. Also want to mention the fact that we have a problem in, Salinas. It's a little road work, West Market in both directions between Salinas Street and Market Circle. Right lane closed typically until 4 p.m. Looks like they just have reopened that, and that's going to be in effect until Friday. And then they'll leave the scene there. Northbound 17 looking good. No major stalls or accidents.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. You can call in right now. This is a free speech zone in so many cases. Our number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And yes, we're brand new on KPOJ in Portland. This program was recorded earlier this week, so sit back and listen. And if you want to join in the conversation, do it by email. Send me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. And there's a lot to talk about today. We spoke with Shane Cotterdall from the Center for Constitutional Rights about the ongoing issues related to the NSA spying program and how those tie in to that remarkable visit to the bedside of John Ashcroft in the intensive care unit in the hospital in Washington. We talked with Bob Furtick of Democrats.com about the need to keep the fire under Democrats in order to get legislation passed that will actually get the U.S. occupation ended and bring our troops home. We also touched on the secret surge. We're now learning that
The actual number of troops could peak at over 200,000 by the end of this year. And that would be a huge increase, much more than the itty-bitty surge that Bush first talked about in January of this year. We also talked about the mortgage crunch on people with adjustable-rate mortgages. And as interest rates go up, you're being crunched and your house may not be worth as much as it was when you bought it and took out that huge loan. And also, we talked about the damage control efforts underway by the White House. They hired a guy named Mark McKinnon to try to put out the fires caused by the Alberto Gonzalez U.S. attorney flaps. And also, we heard from Matthew Rothschild just a few minutes ago about this new executive order giving even more power to Bush and Cheney in the event of a national emergency. You got a lot to comment on, so pick up the phone and give me a call. Grab that fancy cell phone of yours and burn some minutes. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. First up today in the Free Speech Zone, it's Anthony in Eureka. Thanks for your call, Anthony. You're on the air.
Well, Peter B. Collins, I'm just so proud to talk to you and Jason Leopold and Matthew Rothschild. Roman numeral one, you know, Alberto Gonzalez is really worse than Watergate, and that could lead to impeachment.
Well, you got to watch it there. John Dean already published a book called Worse Than Watergate. He was the one who really blew the whistle and told President Nixon famously, there's a cancer on the presidency. Remember him?
Yes.
I'll bet you do.
Now, Roman numeral two, Peter B. Collins, I want to just raise this to a different level, a different perspective. I wrote this three-page poem and five-page essay. I'd like to read the title of the poem to you and the one short verse of the poem.
I'll take it.
And the analysis in the essay. The title is this, Peter B. Collins, World Gone Wrong, dot, dot.
All right.
The superseding, subsuming causation of pain, suffering, misery, and crazy sorrow on planet Earth. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Footnote one by Sherlock Holmes. And this is just one short verse from it.
Well, I'll tell you what, at the risk of offending you, I can't take any more reading. I like to talk to people. So if you'd like to email that to me, I'd be delighted
I'll read it, Anthony.
I'll talk
to you. But, it's about mentality. The corruption of human mentality and ideology on this planet into criminal, psychopathological sociopathology.
Mm-hmm.
And I identify who the opposition is, as Martin Luther King used that word.
All right.
In five delineations. Neoconservative dominionist.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, corporate dominionist. Number three, evangelical dominionist. Number four, Zionist dominionist. And number five, Islamist dominionist.
Well, those are very interesting demarcations. And I'll just tell you that tomorrow on this program, writer Chris Hedges, who has a new book out and who was the Middle East bureau chief for the New York Times for many years, is going to join us. And the evangelical dominion is right there in his sight. So I hope you'll tune in then. Appreciate the call today, Anthony. Thank you very much. Now we jump over to Steve in Salinas. Steve, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Hey, the other day when you had Peter DeFazio on, I was impressed with him until you asked him about impeaching Gonzalez. And he just totally wimped out. I wrote him a scathing letter. I hope you don't mind.
I don't mind.
And I think they'd be better off impeaching Gonzalez than having him resign. Because if they impeach him, then they can subpoena Roe, they can subpoena Ashcroft, and get those guys to testify under oath. And I think that might lead up the food chain. And if they just if Gonzalez were to quit,
mm-hmm.
That would be harder to do.
Well, I think the end game is the same either way, that we want to see him out of office, and the way to achieve that, could come through this idea of a no-confidence vote, but I'm not so certain about that. I do think that impeachment is a worthwhile process, and I agree with you that it would allow us to look under a lot of rocks and figure out, some of the things that have gone on that have been kept from us to date. But I think ultimately if the Judiciary Committee in the House returns a bill of impeachment, that would be sufficient, or it should be under normal circumstances, to cause the Attorney General to recognize that the jig is up and he's got to go.
If the Democrats are such wimps, they won't do it.
I wish I could just reject that argument out of hand, Steve, but they certainly haven't shown eagerness to use the powers of the Constitution that I believe are required. It's not an optional thing. It's not a, you know, impeach if you want to, impeach if it's really bad. I believe laws have been broken. We have clear indications of that. There's probable cause to pursue the charges. And for me, impeachment is not off the table. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
More calls and comments next. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sober Stones, Big Sur Jade. With our busy lives, it's hard to stay balanced and calm during the day. Sober Stones, Deep Green Big Sur Jade are great reminders to keep your eye on the ball. Staying sober, present, and awake to life. Keep them in your pocket throughout the day. Look at them, feel them. What our native ancestors used in healing for thousands of years are available for you now. Call 521-7917. Sober Stones in all sizes for all budgets. 521-7917. Make today very special. Treat yourself and others to a delicious slice of Mexico at La Flor de Oaxaca, Carmel's only Mexican restaurant. Delight your senses and your palate in particular. Discover La Flor de Oaxaca and meet chef owner Conrado Geronimo. La Flor de Oaxaca is located at the southwest corner of Dolores at 5th in Carmel by the Sea and is open Monday through Saturday for lunch and dinner from 11 to 9. On your first visit, let me suggest enchiladas San Felipe's or enchiladas verdes with a wine from the house list. La Flor de Oaxaca's mission is to serve you the best Mexican cuisine with an emphasis on the unique and delicious flavors of Oaxaca. La Flor de Oaxaca, located at the southwest corner of Dolores at 5th in Carmel. Open Monday through Saturday for lunch and dinner from 11 to 9. Make today special at La Flor de Oaxaca.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it, and your info is safe with me. I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m., and as Julia Child used to say, bon appétit!
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Thank you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. We're taking your phone calls here. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Is there a rat in your kitchen? Is there a rat at your courthouse? Well, there's a new way to fix a rat. And it involves that thing that Bush calls the internets. Yeah, plural, the internets. There's a website, and I currently I'm unable to load it on my computer. It says connection closed by remote server. You might try to visit it later. It's whosarat.com. No apostrophe, WHOSARAT, whosarat.com. And this website is based in Florida. And last week, according to the New York Times, it featured a Florida man who agreed in September to plead guilty to cocaine possession, but not gun charges, in exchange for his commitment to work in an undercover role to contact and negotiate with sources of controlled substances. Yeah. He made a plea deal, and in order to get the charges on him reduced, he agreed to turn on other people that maybe he had bought blow from in the past. And this is one of 4,300 informers and 400 undercover law enforcement agents who have been identified at the website over some period of time. I don't know exactly how it's been up. And the Times contacted somebody at the website who identified himself as Anthony Capone. A nom de guerre? A nom de web? Well, he claims it's his real name. You can believe that or not. And what they do is they scour government documents and they look for these plea deals and then they put the information out there. In one case, a witness in Philadelphia was moved and the FBI was asked to investigate after material from whosarat.com was mailed to his neighbors, posted on utility poles and cars in the area. And I think this is a very interesting counterpoint to the intrusive actions of government that we've been talking about on this program today. Big government now can intercept your emails, monitor your phone calls, do roving wiretaps on multiple phones that you own or control or use. And people are responding by asserting their individual rights to be free of snitches. And the term snitches, I'll acknowledge, is loaded. It comes out of the prison culture, where to snitch is something that can be punishable by death if you tell a guard or other authorities about something that one of your fellow inmates has done. That's a snitch, and it's a violation of the ultimate rule in prison circles. And likewise, there is the Blue Code. Cops have a no-snitch rule. One cop does not break the code by ratting out a fellow officer, even if that officer is guilty of a gross violation of the law. So we have these very powerful dynamics in our culture about snitching, about informing. And here comes this website, whosarat.com, and I still can't get it up on my browser here. One of the supporters of this group said, you know, it doesn't advance any of the stated safety goals. It just serves as a roadblock to the public's constitutional right to access to their court. That is, if you don't expose this information. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about this, particularly if you're a law enforcement officer, a prosecutor, or maybe you have been the victim of an informant, a rat, a snitch? What is appropriate here? And what are your rights to be free from either snooping, provocation, or potentially being set up by a snitch who has great motivation to build a case on you or turn you into authorities to reduce the exposure that person has from their own criminal wrongdoing? Snitching is based on the premise that there's no honor among thieves and that you can conquer, you can divide and conquer lawbreakers in this manner. And when it's used appropriately, I can accept it. It's not something I promote or, you know, think is a fabulous idea. But I can rationalize that to take a lower-level criminal, give them a lighter sentence in order to get to the kingpin, whether it's a murder conspiracy, a drug conspiracy, money laundering, fraud, whatever. It can be a reasonable method of law enforcement. But we have seen now, in the recent case in Hoboken, and do you remember the case of the alleged terrorist group in Miami about a year ago? These are the guys who were led by their FBI undercover informant to go buy uniforms and to swear out an oath to Osama bin Laden, activities that the gangs, the would-be terrorists, did not contemplate until their FBI informant said, hey, don't you think we need uniforms if we're terrorists? Don't you think we ought to swear out an oath to Osama bin Laden? And this gives me the willies, because we go back to the 1960s when J. Edgar Hoover had his counterintelligence program called COINTELPRO, and he was doing the same damn thing. He had people infiltrate the Black Panthers and the SDS and other counterculture groups, some of which were committing crimes, I acknowledge that. But his paid FBI informants often provoked these people into committing other crimes and new levels of crime that they had never even thought of. And that's the dangerous side of the snitch thing. So next time you can, if it's working, visit whosarat.com. Let me know what you think about that. But in the meantime, what about snitches? Tell me your thoughts. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jake is up next from Arcata. Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
I got some questions to ask you, but first I'd just like to point out that since you brought up this topic of these FBI informants and how often they are getting these people to commit these crimes, in fact, the first World Trade Center bombing back in 1993, the explosives for that attack were provided by an FBI informant. And, you know, people can find out more about this if they want to. They can go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com.
Mm-hmm. You know, also, the recent case, you know, the Lodi terrorists, a father and son named Herat.
Mm-hmm.
That was another case where it's not entirely clear, but there was a guy who was paid $240,000 by the FBI to infiltrate the mosque in Lodi. And what he came up with was this circumstantial evidence that Herat and his father had traveled to the Middle East, I think Afghanistan, but I'm not positive, and attended some sort of alleged Al-Qaeda training camp. And I'm sorry, from my coverage of that case and talking to the attorneys for the defense, I'm pretty well persuaded that the evidence was about an inch high, and this FBI informant helped magnify it to, oh, maybe a foot or two tall.
That's right. And look at this recent case in New Jersey where supposedly you have these young individuals who were talking about attacking a military base there in Fort Dix. Well, these guys did not even have weapons, according to the FBI. In fact, it was the FBI informant who was going to provide them with the weapons prior to their arrest.
Well, but they had pizzas, and they knew how to deliver them.
And they were Muslims, so of course they're just guilty, of course,
right,
according to the FBI. But anyways, I do have a question for you. So they're rebroadcasting your show on 620 KPOJ in Portland. What are the hours on Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 7 p.m.
Great.
And so we're on there on Saturday right now. Pretend it's Saturday, okay, Jake?
Okay, I will. also, another question for you. The media is reporting that the Democrats in the Congress are close to caving and giving Bush everything he wants, $100 billion through September for the illegal war in Iraq, no benchmarks, no timelines. Peter B., I want the names of the Democrats who have rolled over on this issue, because being that this is the number one issue, why the public gave the Democrats control of the Congress, how can they possibly cave to Bush on this one?
Well, it's quite disappointing, Jake, and we were talking about this earlier with Bob Furtick, and for me, it starts with things that many people overlook, but it's the language and the frames or references that are used to describe the debate and the situation. And the Democrats have routinely permitted the Bush administration to own the language, to talk about how this $100 billion supplemental for the occupation is somehow money for the troops. And the Democrats have been really lame in my view, in making clear that the reason the troops are under-equipped or under-resourced is not the fault of Democrats. It's not even John Kerry's fault for voting for it before he voted against it. It is a fundamental failure of the Bush administration in the planning and execution of the war and the occupation. And they continue to get away with shifting the blame to Democrats. You remember a year ago the language was cut and run, cut and run. The Democrats want to cut and run. And now benchmarks and timelines become a date certain for surrender. And the, you know, time and time again, the Democrats don't catch on. And they use the language. They have repeatedly said, we will fund the troops. And they've said that they will do so prior to the break over Memorial Day holiday. And that's falling into two traps. One is, this money is barely about the troops. Out of the $100 billion, what do you guess? $15, $20 billion is for the troops. You know, a lot of it is for contractors like Blackwater and Khaki and Halliburton. A lot of it is for infrastructure and replacing equipment that the Pentagon doesn't have a budget to replace or rebuild. Stuff that they stole from National Guard units like, oh, Kansas recently discovered when they had tornado emergencies. And so the Democrats, unfortunately, have developed a weak hand. Largely, in my view, because the way they let the Republicans establish the terms of the debate. And we shouldn't be talking about funding the troops. We should be talking about ending the occupation, ending the graft and corruption that is bought and, you know, is funded by these supplemental bills and goes into the pockets of Halliburton and the other contractors I mentioned. And the Democrats need to wrestle this crocagator to the ground and rename it. It's an occupation. Right. It's a failed policy. We're throwing good money after bad. And there are ways, like the MRTHA proposal of 60-day funding, that they could have put a leash on the president, given him a, you know, a debit card with a certain amount of funds behind it, but not written another full check. This one isn't a totally blank check, but it's a check that has just about everything the president wanted, and that is a fundamental mistake. And Jake, I'll add one more thing, and that is we need to remember basic civics. Spending bills originate in the House. The Senate can't spend a whole lot more than what the House authorizes coming out of a conference committee. The White House can't spend more than is originally appropriated by the House as amended by the Senate. The House is in the driver's seat in terms of shaping the funding for the war and the occupation, and they need to take control of the vehicle.
That's right. Well, it's time for Democrats to act like they have control. And I want all the Democrats out there in the audience and anybody who's progressive, Green Party, you name it, call your local congressman up here on the North Coast, of course, Mike Thompson. You can call his local office, 269-9595. I think that the truth here is we have to follow the money. The reason that Democrats aren't able to call Iraq what it is, a giant boondoggle on behalf of the oil companies and defense contractors, is because a lot of these Democrats, unfortunately, are taking money from the very same defense contractors.
Yeah.
For instance, Mike Thompson is taking money from Lockheed Martin. Why? Can you give an explanation why he's taking money from Lockheed Martin? No, he can't. Unfortunately, this is the problem.
Got to run to a break, Jake. Thanks for a great call, and thanks for listening to my rant. We'll continue in a moment. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can win.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
All right, let's take a look at traffic, give you the very latest, and let's start off with no problem. CHP telling us about Highway 17. Well, there was a problem northbound 17 at the summit. Everything seems to be cleared up now, which is always exciting, good news. Also want to tell you about, is our computer updates here. We're going to tell you about Santa Cruz, Booney Don at Smith Grade. The vehicle hit a tree. For some reason, it's still the CHP still on scene there. Watsonville, Hazel Dell Road at Green Valley. A solo vehicle went down the embankment. We have emergency crews currently there. Also want to take a look at, San Juan Batista, Highway 156 at Rocks Road. An injury crash. Two vehicles in the center divide. Fire department is present there. Our support brought to you by JCPenney's. Today's the day. Pump your reward boat at JCPenney's.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Once again, I want to welcome our new listeners. This is our debut broadcast on 620 KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. I'm delighted to be with you, and as long as it lasts, we'll be here Saturdays and Sundays, 4 to 7 p.m. on KPOJ. And you can log on to my website, peterbcollins.com, to find out who he is, and I think there's a picture of the guy, and also links to our live stream and to our archive programs if you want to get more after you've had a taste of it here. And we're taking calls here in our live broadcast from listeners up and down the left coast. Up next, it's Donna in Big Sur. Thanks for your call, Donna.
Well, hi, Peter.
Hello.
I'm your faithful listener.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Give us a scene setter. How beautiful is it in one of the most spectacular coastal areas of our country today?
Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I'll bet it is.
Absolutely beautiful. But there is clouds on the horizon due to all the unbelievable things that are going on in the world. And what I wanted to talk to you about today was, you know, I really appreciated not only your last, major guest that spoke, but some of the folks that called in. About a year and a half ago, I spoke to a small group of friends. We had got together to talk about what was going on in the world, and all of us agreed that at that point we were terribly concerned that this administration was going to go towards martial law. And I'm sorry to say, maybe I shouldn't even say, but it looks like that's what they're pushing for. They're going to manufacture something that will happen to go in with that law that you talked about that they put in on May 9th.
Well, what we can hope for is that our good friends Vladimir Putin and Hugo Chavez will not permit martial law to occur in the United States, and that they will intervene the way we did in the Ukraine.
How can they do that?
Well, there is a power of international pressure and shame. Shame doesn't appear to have a whole lot of impact on the Bushies, but in some ways I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
That, if you recall, it was just weeks after we ignored the wide disparity between the exit polls in Ohio and the published results.
Yes.
To embrace the exit polls from the Ukraine that varied widely from the published results. And, of course, in the Ukraine, we said, you got to have a new election. And in Ohio, we said, oh, that's just a bunch of conspiracy nuts.
I know. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Donna, I'm tight for time here. I want to thank you for
the
call today.
I'm sorry, but I think that's what they're pushing for.
Well, I'm glad you're vigilant, and we will remain so. Thank you very much. Billy Sunshine in Capitola next. Hello, Billy.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
That's a beautiful weekend, you know. I woke up Saturday, and I just took a look out the door, and it was sunny, and I'm having a great weekend. How about you?
Life's going well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's on your mind today?
Well, I intelligent design. Evolution, neither one actually could be right. Because if you look at this political class of ours, there's nothing going on there. I don't get why we can't figure out a way to get some kind of term limits, because nobody can tell me that the experience that all these people have is resulting in good results at all.
So you want federal term limits, is that it?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, and the argument is, again, you know, well, look at the expertise, and you need these guys to know. But what are they getting done with all that expertise? I don't see the Democrats are failing us, aren't they? Or did I miss something?
Well, there's a lot of disappointment, no doubt about that, Billy. Particularly, the more progressive you are, the more out of step the Democratic leadership seems to be. I do have some empathy for Reid and Pelosi. I think that they're trying to herd these kittens along, and we've got some fiercely independent members of the Democratic caucus who are far more conservative and whose primary interest is their own political survival.
Term limits. See, that's the point. See, you just made my point. Thank you.
Well,
the
fact is,
survival is the most important thing to you, then we'll never get the best decision possible, will we?
Now I'm going to bob and weave. Because we've had term limits in California for 15, 18 years now. And overall, I'm not impressed. I think that term limits are a way of taking out people you don't like while hoping to hold on to your own personal representative. And I've used the example, that I support term limits for Tom DeLay and Sam Brownback and, Rick Santorum gotten taken care of.
But not for Barney Frank.
But, yeah, I want people who I generally agree with to be reelected as often or as long as they can.
Well, but I'm approaching it from a results oriented thing, and I'm not married to either one. I'm married to seeing the best results. And the one thing we never seem to get are the best results, beautifully crafted laws that make sense, that aren't bought and paid for.
Yeah. Well, and as you're talking about this, the issue that to me remains unresolved is campaign finance.
Mm.
Because if we didn't permit open bribery of our elected officials on the incredible scale that it occurs today, there would be a level playing field, and Billy Sunshine or Jake from Arcata could step out and challenge a sitting member of Congress, as Bob Furtick was talking about earlier today. What we need to do is we need more Ned Lamonts to set more examples of people like Joey Lieberman.
It's, it all comes back to the same thing. It's campaign finance, or it's this, or it's that. But ultimately, the reality is that these people, even the ones that we like so much, they're failing to deliver a well-run system with good results.
And where,
I'm going to
I will admit my position is weak and even potentially naive is that all of these issues that we raise require Congress or these other elected officials to regulate themselves.
Exactly, and they never have up to this moment.
And they also don't give us a mechanism other than the proposal that Mike Gravel has for a national referendum or a national initiative process we don't have a way to go around the Congress to limit the lobbyist revolving door. Did you see that the Democrats stripped out recently the language that would have required them to wait 2 years to jump out of the Congress and jump into a $500,000 a year lobbying job?
You mean reform is not spelled D-E-M-O or whatever how you spell Democrat?
Billy, thanks for your call today.
Hey, buddy.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome to our new listeners in Portland. And visit peterbcollins.com to get more information and check out our archive programs. We'll be back at you same time, same station again soon here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Keep smiling until then.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Timetables are off the table, and a compromise on funding the war in Iraq is close to being finalized. But CBS News congressional correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports there is a growing consensus that things will have to change.
Republican Senator Susan Collins has been fending off the idea of timetables, but today told CBS News a deadline is drawing closer nonetheless.
You're suggesting in September, if benchmarks aren't met, there may be something other than economic consequences.
That's right. All options need to be on the table, including redefining our mission and planning for a significant but gradual withdrawal next year.
Under a draft funding bill not yet final, Iraq would have to make great strides toward 18 benchmarks.
At the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports there's increasing doubt about the prospects for success in Iraq.
Commanders in the field report modest progress. But CBS News has been told they have also concluded the Iraqi government will not meet any of the benchmarks for political reconciliation among its warring factions. As Admiral William Fallon, the overall commander for the Middle East, put it, reconciliation isn't likely in the time we have available.
A prediction today from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration that the hurricane season could be a doozy.
Forecaster Jerry Bell is about to get very busy.
We're looking at 13 to 17 named storms, 7 to 10 hurricanes, and 3 to 5 major hurricanes.
We are right now in a what we call a period of more active hurricane season.
And NOAA Administrator Conrad Lautenbacher says if you're in a vulnerable area, you need to pay attention.
This day is about preparedness. It's about getting the word out that hurricanes are dangerous, they can be destructive, they can be lethal.
Last year's season was fairly quiet. This year it may not be. The season starts in 10 days. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Women will have an intriguing new birth control option by July. Today, the Food and Drug Administration approved Librel, the contraceptive pill that shuts down the menstrual cycle indefinitely. Virgin birth is possible among sharks. Scientists say they've documented a case of a female hammerhead shark who had a baby without benefit of male contact. Jerry Falwell's followers said farewell at his funeral today. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula was there.
The Reverend Jerry Falwell was praised